As we're discussing the topic of competition, last week we discussed the sugya. Began this yared lo'umnus chavera. That's the perek dalet peish tof nun tes. So last week we pointed out there's a machlokas whether it's a deraisa the rabbanon, that the Masis ben Yamin says it's a deraisa. The Chasam Sofer says that it is in the kind of category of a Torah moshul chachamim, that a Kadosh Baruch Hu gave us certain guidelines, and then Chazal were to pick up and give the details of the. Of the halachas, and and the Marshal says that it's entirely that it's rabbanon with an asmacht of osur of orer masigvul. We pointed out that the machlekes of whether it's a deraisa rabbanon will have a ramification as to whether. If a person is does compete inappropriately with a with somebody else and causes him damage, says, will the Beis Din actually collect damages? So that's according to the Masis Ben Yamin, there would be collection of damages, but we don't paskin that way. That Rav Kohn points out in Lamed Hey that we paskin that it's not a deraisa, it's a drabonon. And that Chazal were not masaking them and collects damage, but Chazal could, but the Beis Din could put certain impediments to try to discourage the person from continuing to compete. And then we pointed out, what about in our situation where you may have Jews maybe competing with each other, but certainly non-Jews are allowed to compete. So is there any din that would say the two Jews can't compete when a goy can come into the market anyways, and that he pointed out in Lamed Vav, that we would not paskin that way, of course, the Marashdam and the Chasam Sofer. In other words, Chasam Sofer would say that when Chazal fleshed out the din of Yoreh le'umnes chaveroi, so they, one of the things they put into place was that if there are goyim there who are competing anyways, and it's an open market, so then there is no restriction on a Jew competing because it wouldn't accomplish anything. All it would do would be to make it harder for the Jew to earn a living. Probably the Masis Ben Yamin, he doesn't spell this out, would disagree, because if it's a deraisa, then even if there are other goyim who would compete, I can't impede on somebody else's livelihood. The situation that would be of interest to us would be if it's a Jewish business, right? It's a there's a kosher market, and somebody else opened another kosher market. So it's a Jewish niche. Or it's a svarim store and a second svarim store. So then, even though it's an open market, so would there be an iser in me setting up the second store that could cause damage to the investment and the livelihood of the first store? So that is where we left off last week, and that's what we have in Sif Lamed Zayin. That as far as the Gemara is concerned, the Gemara says, we discussed this a little bit last week, that if a person lives in the neighborhood and pays the cargo, the taxes, so that gives me the right to earn my living in this neighborhood. So even though somebody else has a store, and I want to open up the same kind of a store, but I'm paying the taxes, and I am living in this neighborhood. If I come from a different neighborhood, I pay taxes to a different government, the Gemara says, then I don't have the schos to come in to your area and to compete against you. Rav Kohn points out in the footnotes that we no longer have this concept of karga, that that we don't have this concept where paying taxes is your gateway to being able to open a store. We pay our income taxes after we've earned funds. He does point out in the shir that where there could be a difference with this kubi aloch alamais, with a certain license, so to speak. Let's say, again, it would have to be in a Jewish geschäft. If I have a bar with only kosher drinks, and it becomes a kosher bar, whatever that means, and then somebody else wants to open up another kosher bar, for that you need a license. So there could be that if I would open up without a license, besides being in violation of the Muhusadina, then it could be in violation of your Lumus Chavere, because I don't have the schus to open up this particular kind of a store. But then he writes, now that we have a free market economy, that's at the top of page Tov Samach Aleph. Hulviya Omer. Bimdinos Shibehena Ma'areches HaKalkolis Psucha. Open free economy. V'achoy keveya shekol ezrach midino yachol la'asok b'mizchar kirtzono. And the law of the land is, you can do, everybody can compete as they wish. V'ein l'malchus v'chus la'akev mishu miliftoch esek o la'asok b'mizchar. And the government limits its own ability to stop people from opening up businesses. And has nothing to do with the whether you pay tax, don't pay taxes. Nirish din ha'omer b'shulchan aruch la'akev abol liftoach hanus mischareh b'nei shador b'yaracheres ein mishal misim ein enoveg l'masa. And so there he says this entire concept that there could be limitations and me opening up a store because of government regulations doesn't apply at all. In the footnotes, he explains in a more creative way. The footnotes he explains based on the Marashdam, footnote 115, I think the way to say this is, take it back to the fundamental din of Yerin Lumnas Chaver according to Chassam Sofer, that Kadosh Baruch Hu has certain rules in place about when is it appropriate to compete, inappropriate to compete. And that was all on Ma'arechas, which he gave over to Chazal for Chazal to figure out the details. So Chazal figured out one particular detail. They figured out is karga and live in a certain place. So the of Kohn seems to be saying that is Chazal figuring out what is the best dynamic for the marketplace. The best dynamic for the marketplace is if there are certain gateways to the marketplace. When the government figures out a better market system, then the Chazal abdicate their judgment to the government. In other words, that the Chazal, the rabbis, have the ability to set up a certain market dynamic. And as we'll see in a few minutes, they're concerned to have some competition. They're concerned not to have competition which is based on lack of integrity. So there are certain rules we'll see in a moment. So Chazal developed certain ideas of when a person can compete and cannot compete. Good. However, what were Chazal doing when they were doing that? They were figuring out what is the best interest of the customer, what's the best interest of the people having the ability to set up stores. So once we live in a place where the government makes that judgment call, where they figure out what's the best way for people to live in a certain way, so then he says that could be that the Chazal no longer, they give up their ability and their rights. Rav Kohn made the same point during, in broad terms, but he made the same point within COVID. And he was saying that, and certainly he makes the same point when it comes to certain ordinances and certain rules. He says that, let's say, for example, in the COVID situation, so he said that the reason that Klal Yisrael had to listen to government legislation was because it's really the job of rabbinic leadership to set up various rules of safety. That's part of Chazal, that's part of the rabbi's obligation. Now, rabbis are not doing that nowadays because the government is doing that. So when the government sets up medical regulations, that is really doing what the rabbis are supposed to be doing. It's as if they're doing it as a shlichus of the rabbanim. And therefore, the binding nature of government regulations when it comes to medical issues, he says that's the rabbi is really allowing the government or mandating the government to do their shlichus.
It's basically l'sasser instead of dinat machusa.
Correct. Correct.
Stronger than a.
Correct. Machusa. Correct. Yeah. Correct. Yeah. That's the way he looked at it. Yeah. Exactly. So he's a similar idea over here as well. He has in the footnotes on page Tov Samach Aleph, number 115, and he explains that that is where the Marishdam is coming from. Again, which would say that when you live in a free market economy, there is very, very little regulations or limitations on setting up a competing store. In Perek Hay, he develops, you know, what is appropriate and inappropriate competition. So we will get back, probably not today, to Pasuk L'Chayusa. That is the most common discussion. That's Mem Gimel through Mem Dalet. Can I set up a competing store which undermines somebody else to be able to earn a living? Pasuk L'Chayusa. That's a machlekes, a poskim, if that concept exists. Chasam Sefer held very strongly. But let's look at the... when is it I'm allowed to compete? I'm allowed to set up a competing store. For whatever reason, that's the government, the nature of the government's economic pattern. Does that give me totally free rein? So most of the discussion in this area comes down to an Orach HaShulchan, and the Orach HaShulchan quotes two Gemaras. One is the Gemara in Bava Basra, and one is the Gemara in Bava Metzia. The Gemara in Bava Metzia is the Gemara, the Mishnah that says that if my competing store gives out candy to children, so I can't complain that's inappropriate competition, because I can also give out candy to kids. Right? In other words, in a situation where parents are sending children to pick up their Shabbos shopping, so the storekeeper says, this is a great idea. If I have to attract kids to come to my store. So he deals with the guns who are doing the pickup and delivery. So kids, it's candy. It's a cheap way to get traffic into your store. So the Gemara says, does that mean he's taking away my traffic? No, because I can also give out candy. So you see that as long as he's not doing something which I cannot do, that is fair competition. But you see, the Chazal did have some standards as what's appropriate and inappropriate. The Gemara says, what happens if I open my store and I charge a cheaper price? I don't totally, but a cheaper price. Gemara says, that's great. That's better for the customer. That's a good thing. So you see, he says, Zohar Latoiv. Zohar Latoiv to the storekeeper, which lowers the price a little bit. So you see from these two rules that Chazal were concerned about inappropriate competition, but at the same time, they said if it yields a better market for the clients, then that's good. Is there a limitation? That's the Gemara in Bava Basra. The Gemara in Bava Basra says that Chazal may takana as a Neretz Yisrael if I am selling fruit and vegetables, then Chazal said at certain points, I'm not allowed to sell it through a middleman. Because if I sell it through a middleman, then I'm increasing another person who needs to make a living on it. So I'm bumping up the price. If I'm a farmer, let all the people come to me and let them buy the apples from me. Now the Gemara says, what happens if it's a situation where there is a middleman in place? They don't go to the farmers; are not local. They have to go to the middleman. Okay, so one middleman is okay. Gemara says, what happens if there's another middleman? What happens if a person is able to bring down the price of wheat? Well, that's great, because that the whole economy will work out. In other words, if I'm able to lower my profit margin, so I'm going to end up bringing down, through the competition, the wholesale will have to sell for cheaper. So the Gemara seems to say, that's a good thing. As long as everybody can make a living, that's a good thing. So you see from these two Gemaras that Chazal were in favor of competition which will yield a better market for the consumer, and they were in favor, and they certainly allowed competition which doesn't make the marketplace, an uneven place, one from the other. And Rav Kohn codifies this in Mem Beis, in page Tov Samach Beis. Le'uma zos, osa limkor mekach b'mchire hefsid, oy beli revach b'chdei lemotet es ha'mischarim bashuk. Let's say what I want to do is I'm willing to sell a product without any profit at all. I'm even willing to take a loss on it. But what's my end game? My end game is to destroy the competition and to have a monopoly and then to be able to raise the prices. So the Aruch HaShulchan says that's Osir. He says, you see from the Gemara in Bava Basra, you see that you can't just, you can raise prices when you can lower prices when the playing field is more or less even. We can all lower prices. We can all give out candy. And when it's going to yield a better market for the consumer. But if my goal is to do something which my competitor can't do, I have a great investment. I have no dependence anymore. So I can open up a store and lose money on it. My competitor can't do that. He has a normal family, right? He doesn't have a rich investment. And ultimately, my goal is not to make it better for the consumer. My goal is to undermine the other storekeeper. And when he's out of business, I can do what I want. I can raise the prices. So that, the Aruch HaShulchan, that the Rav Kohn interprets, the Aruch HaShulchan talks about lowering prices in a way that makes the economy a difficult economy. Makes it hard for all the storekeepers in this way. Lowering the economy, I open up a store and I start selling chumashim very, very cheap so that everybody has a hard time putting food on the table. Okay? The Aruch HaShulchan says you can't do that. Rav Kohn goes the next step and says that I certainly can't do is to have a competition which my end game is to have a monopoly.
Well, often you have it where, like, a seller's trying to do something which is better for the consumer, but the competition can't copy, right? So if I have more data than competitors, I can come up with analytics that, right? I want to win the market, but it's better for the consumer, but he doesn't have the data, he can't build those analytics.
Right, so that is a great area. Let's look a little bit further. We'll see, we have some examples that are similar to that. V'yesha kosu, Shaf Hamisayim Lazek, you and Amarchim Shekiblu Ascharim Esitanoi, Shemoicher Bezol Machlala Mazikim Esashok, and he says, similarly, there are those who say that it's also for me to be involved in this scheme, to me to be the wholesaler which helps the person ruin the economy, also. However, Nira Shemutor Lechanos Shemoicheris Kama Moitzerim Limkor Moitzerim Suyamim Beli Revach, what we call lost leaders. He says that he thinks that it's not a problem to have a loss, that to have one item where I am losing money. And what's the purpose? Again, if my goal is to undermine the ability for the other storekeeper to have a business that I can't do, if my goal is that I want to attract customers, and similar, he could do a similar thing, so then that would be permissible. Because that's no different. If I can give out free candy, I can certainly, and I'm taking a total loss on the candy, then I can take some kind of a loss on the
one item.
Now let's go up to. Mem Aleph now. And it's just, we're just going backwards because Rabbi Kohn organizes and says, mutter, and this is awesome. So I find that a hard presentation. I find it easier to say there's certain limitations. And now, what is not part of that, it's just easier for us to, I think, to go through the material. So Mem Aleph, mutter l'mkor s'char b'mchir nomuch m'moshem nimkar b'shuk t'leim shoch l'kul chayselov. It says that this is part of his approach to Aina. Maybe we'll do that next. He says, if I, as long as I'm doing it with integrity, if I, to sell something that the below market value, so then that so even it says even though to sell below, I think what he means is shemechira dain machlal, it has to be within the bounds of the value of the item. I think it's under the same kind of guidelines to sell something that is so far below market value that no one would ever do that, or that it's not a loss leader, and that I only sell one item. And I lower my item such that it's a very, very, very thin profit margin and nobody else is doing this. So then he thinks that is ultimately not going to be for the benefit of the Lekeach. He doesn't explain exactly, but I think that's where he's coming from. But he discusses the situation where I'm able to buy in large quantities. And my competitor doesn't buy in large quantities. So that, I think, Cohen says that that's permissible because it's something that he can also do. He may have to go and credit or something, but he can also buy in large quantities. Only because I'm going to end up... because you see...
My costs are cheaper than his costs. That means that I shouldn't buy from the supplier that was unfair.
Right, so there are...
If you charge the same price, then he'll just make more than the other guy. If he charges less because of his better buying power,
right,
then the other guy won't be able to compete with him.
Right, so right. So Moshe's correct in saying that's mutter, right? That's mutter. So you're saying, what's the Havim Mishmi Yasser?
Yeah.
So that's... The Habamina is that Chazal did put certain limitations. We're trying to figure out how to flesh that out, right? But the Habamina is that Chazal did say that if I have an unfair advantage, I cannot make use of an unfair advantage.
So what about, let's just say, if I'm going to buy from someone who uses child labor
as
the input, and he says, I'm not going to buy from a country that uses child labor, but is that...
Yeah, so that, you know what the best example of that is? Mem Hey, I want to leave that for a separate shiur. What happens if one guy says, I don't pay taxes? So can I buy from the proprietor that doesn't pay taxes because obviously he's going to give me a better rate? So that I think comes under a separate category of Dimu Chusadina. My Muskul Rishon is that would be a problem for me to buy from that person. In other words, the guy who's in violation, he's not asking the shayla, right? The seller is not saying it. But the question is, can the buyer take advantage of the person doing something illegal?
So
that is... So maybe, that, I want to leave that for a separate...
The lower cash price.
Was that?
A lot of businesses, including in our neighborhood, have lower cash prices.
Right, but a lower cash price per se doesn't mean he's not paying taxes.
Why do you think he's charging less for cash?
It could be, but there could be other reasons also. He may need the cash. Maybe easier for him to work with cash. Maybe less bookkeeping. I mean,
you
there could
to
be.
Wait the 30 days to get paid by the credit card companies.
Or he's buying from somebody who doesn't pay taxes, but he's paying taxes. You know, so there could be other. I think there could be other reasons. I think. I mean, we'll come to that. Let's leave a separate topic for that because I want to. Rav Kohn discusses a situation where I have a small store, and now the big store opens up next to me. So he's selling so many more things, he's able to have a lower price. So Rav Kohn thought that is not unfair competition, because he says, but there are different places, there are different niches in the market. And a smaller store, there are advantages to a smaller store. It goes faster. Very often, there's less confusion as to what to buy, maybe better customer service. So he thought that in and of itself, the fact that the larger store can charge less, he says that in and of itself, he doesn't consider it to be unfair competition. He says the smaller store has to find his right niche in order to be able to compete. And he says if the he said in the shir, if the If the smaller store just doesn't want to put in the time to figure out his niche, that doesn't mean that it's unfair competition. But there should be a way that the smaller store should be able to find something that that allows him to compete, and therefore he doesn't consider it to be unfair competition. What about different ways that we advertise? So this goes back to Lamed Tes. That's where he begins. Right? The Lamed Ches, he says, Chazal did allow competition. Why? Because we see from the Gemara of Metzia that Chazal were interested in doing things that benefited the consumer. But there are certain things that are inappropriate. So then he spells out the appropriate things. It's okay. Lamites mutar lemkor lamritzas amechiros al yedei persomis emes alamotz. Okay, so what's the issue? Like Moshe say, what's the kasha? Kasha is it's inappropriate for me to go into somebody else's store and pull out the consumers there. Somebody's in their store already, so it's inappropriate for me to go to the store and try to ply away his customers. If Cohen says that comes under the category of Aniyam Hapach Bechararah, so Chazal said that if we're very, very close to a deal, so then even before the actual kinyan is made, so he thinks it comes in the same category. The guy's in the store already. He's going to buy in that store. So I can't do my, I can't try to get people out. However, if I get his customers with a certain kind of with competition before they go into the store, is mutar lemkor lemoicher lamritzas amechirais al yedei persoimis emes ala moiser, that I'm allowed to advertise as long as it is honest advertising that I can do. Hagam shelamaris ayna persoimis deireshes es tovas alukuchos. Ein bazem yishum genevas das. It says the publicity is trying to pull away lukuchos customers, and v'chein muter lishadel lukuchos liknos es layidei chalukas matanos. And I can even put promotions because that all comes under the category the Gemara says you're allowed to give candy to the kids. It's all the same thing. B'chol el ein mishum tachos in againus. Because, why is that? Because whatever I'm doing, the other store can do, and that's the last line in the footnotes, and that's the Gemara of Metzia about giving candy to the kids. And then he has in the brackets, v'af im mischarmer ze eina yochol lasos, okay? Kigon mechoser em tzaim, mikol mokom hu eina mona mikach, achim mona milasos komoyum, Harehu Mazik Gomer. He says, as long as, he says, even though for some reason the store that's there can't do what I'm doing, you know, he doesn't have access to candy, whatever, he says that would still be something that's permissible. And then Mem is a situation where the wholesaler wants to make conditions with his vendors. Sitanoi, the wholesaler, yochol lasnos im kamoino. He's allowed to make a deal with the retailer. Shemoichel lo yischeir rak im yiyah hamishavek habiladi shelo. I'm the wholesaler, and I'm willing to sell to you as long as you only buy from me. V'lo yimkor motzerim shel sitanoi acher. So I'm putting a limitation on your store. He says, "V'chze kishelayhoyu loy mikvar kishrei mischor mesatoni acher." He says, "However, what I can't do is if I'm a wholesaler and you are presently purchasing from another wholesaler, and I sell you a product." And then I say to you, I'll sell you the product, I'll give you a good price, but you have to stop buying from your present supplier. He says, he thinks that is incorrect. That would be only a hapach b'charora. Ach nechluk ha'achreinim mutu li lidrosh minu lafsik liknos mitzadnoi sho'o yirogel letzlo. I'm not sure, but I think, I know in the shiurim he discusses whether it's let's say there's a certain purchasing season, and I already have my connections, and I'm already purchasing from a certain wholesaler. Now another wholesaler wants to come in and sell. Okay, so that would be competition, better price, better conditions, better delivery, whatever. Then he says, but I'm only going to sell to you at this price if you don't buy from your present provider. That'd be awesome. But let's say the season's over. So it's going to be another 3 or 4 months till we purchase again. So then he said, that is a gray area. If I already have a connection with a certain wholesaler, and by all likelihood I'd go back to him, but it's not pending right now. So in the meantime, I can certainly make my pitch to the wholesaler, to the vendor. I can say, try to sell. How far can I push to have him leave a present? He says, if it would actually go to Beis Din, if the wholesaler would do that, and actually go to Beis Din, he doesn't think that a Beis Din would say that he's doing something which is against the din. He doesn't think that Beis Din would be able to stop him or fine him in any way. However, he's not sure whether that comes under the category of ani habich b'charor. It's clear that if you're mid-season, if you have an ongoing relationship, that's ani habich b'charor. But if it's pre-season, and it's a connection which has been there already, and you will probably go through that, he's not sure.
Well, yeah. Yeah. I'll buy from you if you don't sell to other retailers in my area.
Yeah, so
I don't want others to sell the same column. The same, right.
So can a retailer...
Would that create... Is that unfair? Because now my competition
can't access that.
Can't compete with me.
I don't know. There is a...
I'm working on that today.
Is that?
That's similar today, right? We want to spend a lot of time with a partner.
Yeah.
Building out a product to take us a lot of time and money.
Yeah.
We're nervous that they're going to then go ahead and turn around and then give our competition access to the same solution. So we said, we'll do this.
Oh, okay. So that is a
condition that you won't, for X number of years, you can't do business with our competition.
Right. So that's a different, that we'll discuss, and if next time after, that comes into the intellectual property and copyright. That's a separate, there is a concept of copyright that the Echonim discuss. So that's a little bit different. But the Challah case is, I have to think that out. What's the case with, you know, the Challah case, I'm telling the wholesaler that I'll only buy from him if he does not provide somebody else. I have to think about it.
The thing with products, sometimes you see like a store only carries Pepsi.
Yeah.
They don't carry Coke.
Right.
Right. So Pepsi's saying you can't.
Right. You can't carry it. Right. That's the same case, no?
You're talking about
this is the
other way. It's like this is the wholesaler saying, if you buy mine,
right? Okay,
you can't
buy
from that.
Right. So it sounds like if it's before a relationship is forged, it should be mutter. Right? It's the only question is after a relationship is already forged, can I pull it? Is it like pulling this customer out of the store?
There's also a middle ground which happens a lot, where you say a volume discount. If you just buy one. By X dollars from me, this is the price. If you buy 2X, then I'll give you a discount. I.e., I'm trying to nudge out my competition, and then again, is that an ani habich b'charor issue?
So, that's where the Chazal say zocher latov. It is a good thing if the customer benefits from a lower price.
The wholesaler is doing that because they're trying to nudge out
right.
The same relationship with the company.
Right.
But the other
competitor has the ability to do the same thing, so. Yeah.
That's an existing relationship.
I'm allowed to, if the customer's not in the store yet, I certainly can try to fly him away with competing in a way that he can also compete. Right, so now that you're saying, does the wholesaler and the retailer, they already have a relationship, and I'm trying to ply him away. Yeah, but even if I give him a better deal, if it's a different item, then it's mutter. Right? So I think that would be okay, because then you're providing a different service. Okay. So we've left one major topic, possibly to you say, and then copyright. What was the other issue we left open? Before copyright, we left something else open. Oh, the taxes, right. So next week we'll do Possible Hearsay in a situation where the seller is doing something illegal. I'll try to...